Revelation chapter 20 today, and I'm taking the title for the message from verse 2. And he lay hold on the dragon, that is God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel that came down from heaven, as it says in verse 1. And he laid hold of, apprehended the dragon. He laid hold upon him and restrained him. The dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, which is Satan, and he bound him. He bound him. Bound him up. Chained him up for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. Thanks be unto our great Almighty God, who has undertaken for us to destroy our enemy, our adversary, and win the complete victory for us over sin. He put it away by the sacrifice of himself. Over death, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, I'm alive forevermore. Over the law of God that was against us and contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us the victory over sin, over death, over the devil, over the law, over hell and the grave. Thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives us this victory, and he's won the victory for us by himself. When he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. Remember in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them himself, by himself, with himself. Remember I told you one of the key verses to the Revelation study is found in Revelation 6, verse 2, where it says, he went forth conquering and to conquer. He's conquered every enemy that we have, even Satan himself. That's the good news of the gospel. This whole book of Revelation has the same message as the rest of the books of the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything. The whole volume of Scripture is a revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole volume of Scripture is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to turn with me, you can, but you don't need to. I'll read it to you. In Romans chapter 16, when the book closes, verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. And then he says, amen. What is the scripture about? The scripture is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in Luke 24, when the risen Lord appeared to his disciples, he said this, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. The prophets, the Psalms, the law of Moses. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Luke 24:44. Both Old and New Testament, the whole book of God, is inspired by God the Holy Spirit, and it's all about the glorious person and the successful priestly redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he said to those Jews who were going about to establish their own salvation by what they did, he said, you search the scriptures, but they are they that testify of me. He said, ye won't come to me that you might have life. Peter, when he's at the house of Cornelius, said this, to him give all the prophets witness. Our Lord said, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses wrote about me. There is given in this book of Revelation 7 visions of the glorious victories of the Lord Jesus Christ over all opposition, over all enemies of the church. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. Now, we finished last week in chapter 17, 18, and 19, the sixth vision, which covers that whole gospel age. And today, in chapter 20, it starts that seventh and final vision that again covers that time period from the first coming of the Lord to His second coming. Each of the seven visions cover the whole gospel age from the first coming of the Lord to the second. Seven different pictures of the same gospel age. They do not represent different ages or dispensations or prophetic events. They're all telling the same story. Each vision, those seven visions, cover the first coming of the Lord to the second coming of the Lord. They tell us what the Lord has done, is doing, and shall do for the salvation of His people and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the grand design of redemption. What is it? What is the grand design of redemption? The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, God forbid, I should glory, except in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In chapter 19, we were brought to the end of the world and final judgment in that sixth vision. Now in chapter 20, we go back to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 20, 21, 22, that final vision, we see in the end, the Lord comes back. The seventh and final vision is given. John sees the vision at the beginning of the gospel age, in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bind Satan and to put away our sin, and to fulfill the law of God for us, to establish the righteousness for us by His faithful obedience. So far we've seen the defeat of Babylon, representing all false religions of this world. Turn back to chapter 18, verse 21. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea. Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. Now, what does that city of Babylon represent? All false religion. Included in that is what I call false Christianity. False Christianity. We've also seen not only the defeat of Babylon, we've seen the total defeat of the beast out of the sea. The beast out of the sea representing those ungodly civil governments of this world. We see the defeat of the beast out of the sea and the false prophet. You remember in chapter 19, verse 20, and the beast was taken with the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So the Lord has dealt in judgment with false religion, with false prophets and ungodly worldly governments. Now in this vision, we not only see the binding of Satan, but here in chapter 20, we see his final end. As Luther said in that song, his doom is what? Sure. And that's found in verse 10, Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. So there we see, just in those few chapters, that every opposition to God's sovereign rule, He will destroy. He will destroy. He wins. In the end, as I've said before, we know the end of the story. We know who wins. God and Satan are not in the competition to see who's going to win. It's not like a ball game. Who's going to run up the score? And at the end, we're going to see maybe the outcome will be different. We've read the last chapter. We know who wins. The Lord Jesus Christ wins every battle and has the complete victory. Now, three things are clearly set forth. Our Lord's first advent is followed by a long period of 1,000 years or for thousands of years, literally it reads, in which Satan is bound, restrained with a chain. As it says in verse 1, I saw an angel come down. Now, this is not a created angel. This is the angel or messenger of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the key and has a great chain in his hand. His hand is the almighty hand of God. Secondly, at the close of the gospel age, that is when the Lord Jesus comes back, at the close of the gospel age, in which Satan is loosed for a little season, as it says there in verse 3. After that, he must be loosed for a little season. Now, it's debatable whether we're in that little season right now. Sometimes I think that we're in that little season right now because of all the wickedness that's going on in this world. Thirdly, the loosing of Satan is followed by the glorious second appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ to make final and total judgment at the white throne judgment when he will make all things new. Revelation 20, look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and their place was found no more. He's going to destroy this world. I told someone just recently, I don't believe in global warming. And he said, yeah, I agree with you. I don't believe in global warming. And then I shocked him. I said, I believe in global burning. And he looked at me like, huh? He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth are going to pass away. They're going to pass away. Now, the 1,000 years in which Satan is bound is symbolic, just as the chain spoken of here is symbolic. It is obvious that the 1,000-year period precedes the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not follow the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we are right now living in that 1,000-year period of what's known as the millennium. They don't begin at the second coming of Christ. They end at his second coming. The Bible does not teach what is called premillennialism. That is, that the 1,000 years begin after the second coming of Christ. And here's what those people who've invented that say. They say that in the millennium, that the Lord will descend to this earth. He'll set up a physical throne in Jerusalem. They'll start slaughtering bulls and goats and calves again and reinstate that Jewish order. That's pure nonsense. The Lord's not coming back to establish Judaism again. The Lord's not coming back to establish the law again. He made an end of sin, and he put an end to the law by fulfilling it in his death. Those who say when the Lord comes back and then there's that 1,000-year reign when all the Jews will be converted, animal sacrifices will begin again, and Christ will sit on an earthly throne in Jerusalem, that's just pure nonsense. That's nothing more than the invention of men. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back after this gospel age, and it is over. Game over. He's going to destroy this place. He's going to take us to himself. He's going to put an end and destroy everything that's contrary to his glory. Now, let's take a careful look at verse 1, 2, and 3. The binding of Satan took place with the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1, and I saw an angel. Now, this angel here is not a created angel. It's the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he came down from where? Where did the Lord come from? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to put away sin, to establish perfect righteousness for us, and to defeat Satan. This was given by prophecy all the way back in Genesis 3, verse 15. Remember what we read there? Don't turn, let me just read it to you, so I don't misquote it. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise thy heel. The Lord Jesus Christ crushed Satan's dominion and his power. I want you to turn with me to this scripture. Turn to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. And this is one of the reasons the Lord came, not only to put away our sin, not only to establish righteousness for us, not only to honor the law of God that he might be just and the justifier, but to destroy the devil who introduced sin. Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, now that's his substitutionary death, he might destroy him that had power of death. Now what's the power of death? Sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. That he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. I like those two things. Underscore, destroy him and deliver them. And that's what he did. He delivered us from the bondage of our sin, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So that's why he came. Now here's one other reference. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. 1 John 3:8. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. We read that, didn't we? For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Destroy him. Destroy him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who has power and authority to bind Satan. To bind him. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And again, now the key is symbolic of his power. The chain is symbolic of his restraining sovereign power. Now remember who has the key? Turn back to chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1. It's prophesied about in Isaiah 22 about the Lord Jesus Christ has the key of the house of David. I'll lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. You remember this key here we read about in Revelation 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. So be it. And have the keys of hell and death. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has the key. That means he owns it. That means it's his. That means he has all authority and power over all things. He has the key of hell and death. In order for us to be redeemed and delivered from death, sin, hell, the law, Satan had to be shackled. The prince of the darkness of the air had to be restrained. And that's what happens when God saves a sinner. You know, we're born, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We are born in this kingdom of darkness. We're born in sin and iniquity. And we're born into this kingdom of darkness, and we're unable to get out of it. Matter of fact, it says we love it. We love darkness rather than the light. So what has to happen is God must deliver us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we were all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others, but God. That's the difference. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he hath quickened us together with Christ. by grace are you saved, raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. You see, he has to translate us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Satan, the prince of the power of the air, he's called the god of this world, was cast out of heaven into the earth. And the only way we are victorious over him is through the blood atonement of Christ. Now, remember back in Revelation chapter 12. Turn over there. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. It says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. Satan was deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard the voice saying, in heaven now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, that's the gospel, and they loved not their lives unto death. Thank God he has the key, the ownership, he has the power to restrain. And notice, it's in his hand. Revelation 20, verse 1, it's in his hand. Do you remember what the scriptures teach us about the hand of the Lord? No one can stay his hand or restrain his hand or stop his hand. Now, verse 2 and 3. And he laid hold of that dragon, that old serpent, the devil, Satan, and bound him for thousands of years. From his first coming to his second coming. That's symbolic of those years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, that is the kingdom of darkness, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the thousands of years be fulfilled. God's purpose is fulfilled. And after that, he's going to be loosed. He's going to be loosed for a little season. Now, we're not waiting the day when Satan shall be bound and Christ will be king. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords right now. This binding and restraining of Satan during this thousand-year millennial time is not his total destruction till we see the coming of the Lord in verse 10 and when he's cast into the lake of fire. But unto that time in this gospel age, Satan is restrained. His influence is extremely curtailed. He's unable to change God's purpose. He cannot deceive the elect of God. But others are still blinded by this one who is called the God of this world. Hold your place there and let's find 2 Corinthians 11. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Seeing we have this ministry as we received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, notice small g, hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for his sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad the gospel is the power of God unto salvation? Satan has been put on a chain. He is limited by the sovereign restraints of God. He can only affect that which includes God's sovereign will and purpose. Did you get that? He can only do only affect that which God includes God's sovereign will and purpose. He worked all things at the counsel of his own will. If you read Job chapter 1, Satan could not touch Job without God's will being done. As Martin Luther said, I quoted earlier, and here it is in my note, and I didn't forget it or look over it. The devil is God's devil. Now, I know religious people say, well, God's in a competition with the devil. No, he's not. It's not a competition to see who's going to win. They're not competitors. God is God, and the devil is nothing in the sight of God. Now, he's too much for us, but not too much for him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can overcome him, render him helpless, bind him until the purpose of God is served. Then he's let loose for a short season before the Lord's second coming. It may be that we're in that short season. It could be that we're in that short season. We know this. The gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. God's church must, shall, and will endure all the attacks of Satan. They do not win. Christ wins. Now notice these four names that are given here. He's called the dragon, and we know he's called the great red dragon in chapter 12. And that means he's a ferocious beast. He's an instigator of rebellion against God in heaven and upon the earth. Remember, he said, I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend to the stars of God. I will be like God. And God said, no, you won't. You'll be cast down. You'll be cast down to the bottomless pit. He's called the old serpent. He's been around a long time. The old serpent, all the way back to the garden. Since the beginning of human history, it was the serpent who first deceived Eve and then Adam. It was the same serpent who deceived sinners today with the same lie of pride and false doctrine of self-righteousness. It's the same serpent that tries to take advantage of our own wicked nature. He finds much in us that's akin to him. But when he came to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil, the scripture said, found nothing in him. And when he comes to assault us and attack us, he finds much in us because we have that sinful nature. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, he found no ally. He found no sin because the Lord had no sin, knew no sin, and did no sin. Our Lord said in John 14, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world has come. He's found nothing in me. Nothing in him. He is called the old serpent. He's called the devil, which means deceiver or slanderer or liar. He perverts the truth of God and turns it into a lie. He's the father of lies. John 8:44, our Lord said, you are of your father, the devil. And he said that to the most religious people of the day, the Pharisees. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar. He's a liar. And he's the father of it. And then he's called Satan. Satan. He's a vicious lion seeking whom he may devour. He opposed God in the beginning. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to bind him up. Bind him up. Don't turn. Let me just read this to you about Satan, how he attacks God's people, God's church. Over here in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So he is an adversary, but he's under the total control of God. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's a vicious lion seeking whom he may devour. He's too great an enemy for us to deal with, but not too great an enemy for the Lord to bind up and destroy forever. Now, let's look at verse 3 for just a minute. I've got just a few minutes left. Verse 3, and he bound him and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till these 1,000 years be fulfilled, and then he's going to be let loose. Now, who's going to let him loose? Who's in control of this? God is in control of all of this. The Lord cast him into the bottomless pit. He's locked up until the Lord is pleased to release him just before the second coming for a short season and then final judgment. Two scriptures I'll read along with that. 2 Peter 2:4, for God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And then the book of Jude talks about the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He reserved in everlasting chain under darkness unto the judgment of God. When and how did this binding take place? It was when the Lord Jesus Christ as a God-man mediator came. The Pharisees accused the Lord when he healed that poor blind man and crippled man of casting out demons by the power of Satan. And our Lord said this, how can one enter in into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then spoil his house? Now that's what the Lord did. He bound him. When did this binding of Satan take place? Well, let me give you several things to think about. In the temptation in the wilderness, remember the Lord was tempted 40 days of Satan, 40 nights. He tempted him and tempted him and tempted him, and every time the Lord rebuked him with the word of God. That was the binding of Satan. In the garden, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when our sin was revealed to him and made known to him, he prayed, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. O my Father, he said, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He started binding Satan up by taking our sin unto himself. And then by his triumph at Calvary, let's read this one. Turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We've looked at this before, but it bears repeating. John chapter 12. I'll let you read back verse 23. He's talking about his death. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. I look down to verse 30. And the Lord answered, said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. How is it that the Son of Man should be lifted up? So he bound Satan by his death at Calvary's tree. And then the last thing, Satan was bound when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to glory. When he ascended up on high, Ephesians 4 verse 8, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Every text of Scripture in reference to Satan being bound is reference to the Lord's first coming, not his second. In his second coming, Satan will be forever destroyed. Satan's influence is still in this world, but he's bound and unable to prevent the spread of the gospel. He's bound and unable to withstand the calling out of the elect of God with the preaching of the gospel. He's bound and unable to hinder the growth of the church. The Lord said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Satan is not bound in reference to all men. There are many who are deceived. But toward the elect of God, he is bound. He cannot harm us. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He cannot successfully accuse us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He cannot bring us into condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. He cannot prevent the success of the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He will soon bruise Satan under our feet. That's what it says in Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 20. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He'll bruise Satan under our feet shortly. This is a glorious, comforting truth to the elect of God. Jesus Christ is the sovereign King. Satan is the defeated foe. We win in Christ. The battle is ours. We are victors through the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan and all his demons lose because the Lord Jesus Christ is a mighty God, King of Kings. We read, he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. He has, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and let us rejoice. Let us rejoice.